clutter is not so bad. I'm David Brancaccio. First, renewable energy sources are now outpacing coal as fuel in America. That said, a new report also finds the U.S. is not even close to meeting emission reduction targets meant to avoid climate catastrophes. Marketplace's Nova Safo has looked at the report and joins us now. Nova?
Yeah, David, this research is coming from the Rhodium Group, which is a research organization that studies environmental issues, among other things. And what they've put out is a preliminary estimate based on how much we believe the economy grew last year. The assumption is GDP growth was 1.9%. And the group says based on that growth, carbon emissions likely rose 1.3%. So we just managed to squeak by with less emissions than economic growth. And that's good in that the economy became less carbon intensive. That's the silver lining here.
But what accounts for this?
Well, as you mentioned, coal is the big thing. We're burning less of it to generate electricity, about 8% less, according to the Rhodium Group. We replaced coal with more natural gas-powered electricity generation, which sends less carbon into the atmosphere. And the biggest change is renewable power sources. They rose 12% last year compared to 2021. In fact, so much so that the U.S. got more energy from renewable sources than it did from coal for the first time in 60 years. Really, for the first time ever, David, but technically in the 1960s, hydropower gave us more electricity than burning coal did.
So why does the study think we're not going to make these targets by the end of this decade?
Right, the emissions targets, because we're not moving fast enough. Emissions aren't going down as much as they need to. The Rhodium Group says the Inflation Reduction Act could help. It has funding for clean energy, but we need to speed things up even more than that with more aggressive regulations.
Nova Safo, thank you. Markets S&P futures are up 0.2%, 2.5 hours before formal stock trading begins. 10-year interest rate has been running lower since Friday, 3.56% this morning. The Federal Trade Commission is reportedly dusting off a nearly forgotten law from 1936 that stops suppliers from cutting better deals with big versus small retailers. Politico has sources saying the FTC is looking at whether Coca-Cola and Pepsi are engaging in illegal price discrimination, it's called. This new interest in the 87-year-old Robinson-Patman Act will be watched with interest by the big box stores and big e-commerce firms with business models built on the idea of using their size to wrest the best deals from suppliers. Is this the new year that you're getting rid of all that junk? 3 minutes now to entertain the other side of the story. Journalist Rob Walker has written an op-ed piece in the New York Times arguing clutter is good. He's also author of the new book Lost Objects, 50 stories about the things we miss and why they matter. Rob, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Rob, messy house, messy mind, good people wash their hands, good people declutter. You think clutter is good for you? In what way?
Well, so this piece came about because of a couple of things, but the most relevant one was my mother, before she died, started sending me her clutter, basically. And she had this collection of sort of bird figurines. And, you know, it made me think about the fact that I don't really want those, but you really enjoy them. So why not just continue to enjoy them for as long as you possibly can? And I just wanted to sort of put in a good word for maybe clutter that you really enjoy is something that you should hang on to.
Well, help me understand this about your mom. I mean, we're wrestling with this too. It's very clear that the older generation's stuff, the next generation's not interested, but yet you ended up with some of your mom's stuff and you're thinking it's okay to hold on to it?
The point about this is that she really enjoyed this stuff. And one of the things that I enjoyed about her was her sort of confidence and clarity about her own taste. That's a feeling that should be honored. I'm not an advocate of just keeping everything forever. I'm an advocate of honoring the seemingly sort of, you know, hard to defend affection that we have for objects. And it's because those objects are connected to some time in our life. They're connected to a trip we took. They're connected to a person we met. They're connected to a feeling we had. And that is more meaningful in terms of our relationship to materialism than, you know, buying the hottest new iPhone.
That's the thing, right? Because a subtle reading of the cultural trend toward decluttering is that you're not supposed to throw everything out. You should save the stuff that's meaningful.
Yeah. And I think that just sort of culturally, we've swung a little bit in the last 10 years to a more minimalist aesthetic that I think demonizes anything that isn't easily defensible. And I was pleased to discover in the process of looking into this that there is a sort of counter movement. You know, inevitably it's hashtag cluttercore. But it's younger people who are making videos of like, here's my extensive collection of dolls or toys or whatever. Some of it's a little over the top, but it's a reaction to the idea of the minimal aesthetic that everything looks like kind of a hotel room isn't very expressive. And it's not necessarily needing to be expressive to other people. It's needing to just sort of be comfortable with your own expression of yourself and be surrounded by things that mean something to you. I realize that this could possibly tip into this hoarder culture. I'm not advocating that, but I think that there's a middle ground that has been given short shrift in recent years, and I wanted to speak up for it.
Rob Walker is a journalist. He wrote a piece in the New York Times op-ed section, Clutter is Good for You. Rob, thanks.
Thanks so much. I really enjoyed it.
Above my desk at home is an enamel-inlaid chrome nameplate from a 1966 Chevy El Camino. I've never owned an El Camino, probably never will, but I like it. My daughter gave it to me, and it's not going anywhere. Our producers are Katie Barnfield, James Graham, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. I'm David Brancaccio. It's Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.